Thank you very much. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, if you will. It's good to be with you. I've been looking forward to coming. I am personally at a crossroads in my life, and what's actually happening is I've been saved for over 60 years, and I've been serving the Lord for over 40 years, and I've come to the conclusion that I can no longer go long distances on Sunday, speak morning and evening, and then come home. It takes me too long to recover. So I've notified all of the assemblies except for Bethel, which I'm not going to notify, that I will only do the morning. So the thing I like about Bethel is that I really enjoy the evenings, and I also enjoy coming to the first meeting generally, and everything else is just too far away. So I've decided, you know what, enough is enough. So, and I told him, I said, well, if it's not, don't suit, then that's fine. I can, it's okay, I won't be offended. You should pay your electricity bill and then you could be, right. So there we are. So you can pray for me in that. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Next step is to decide just how many times I want to speak. I'm already involved on the board at Guelph Bible Conference Centre. I take Bible studies in the winter at Wallenstein, and I take a seniors meeting twice a month at the Royal in Gordon, etc., etc. So, and my spirit is willing, but sometimes I get a bit tired, and I think the cancer didn't help that too much. So anyway, it's great to be with you. I've looked forward to it. Great to have my grandson with me this morning, who was at camp last week and trusted the Lord there this past week. And so it's just really good to have him. The Lord has been impressing on my mind a subject for quite some time now, for quite some months, and I can't get away from it. In fact, it's kind of strange because I have so many notes on the subject now that I thought I'd write a book if I had the ability to write books, which I don't. But the subject that has been on my mind for so long is not I but Christ. Not I but Christ. I think that one of the things that we as believers so easily get away from is the fact that although mankind is brilliant, and mankind is brilliant, some of the things that man can do and does scientifically, medically, and all are absolutely amazing. It staggers me, the things that man has done and can do. Absolutely staggers me. And I can give you many examples of that. They sent some rocket to Mars or somewhere a few weeks ago, and they had to design it to slow down, or whatever they do with it, just exactly the right speed because of the gravity and stuff. I'm thinking, how in the world does anybody even think of that? So man is absolutely brilliant. But the thing that's been impressed upon my heart for some time now is that in spiritual matters, without me you can do nothing. And it's a verse that we read out of John 15 verse 5. Without me you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches, and without him, and he being the source of spiritual life, we can do nothing. Now, I know we read the words, and it amazes me that we can go so long through our lives and we read things and yet it doesn't really sink in too much. And so I've been thinking about this for some time, and in fact, the truth is I have about 10 pages of notes on this, because I keep thinking of new aspects and new thoughts on the thing. So you think, well, what I could do is I could just grab some of those and come here and I'm all set for the day and whatever. But I have a principle that whenever I go somewhere, it needs to be what the Lord wants. It needs to be what he wants to say. And so I looked to the Lord to use my poor efforts to bring what he wants. And it's always such a blessing when something comes up like this morning, and you'll understand why I wanted that hymn later on. But I said to her, brother, you know, is there any chance we could sing Holy, Holy, Holy? And he's already picked it. It's already done. Because the thing is, it's not about me or man. It's about what the Lord wants to say to us. So we can have confidence this morning that the Lord will bless and encourage us because it's him and he will do it. And although we have the ability to bring words and read and sing or whatever we do, it can be nothing unless the Lord is able to speak to receptive hearts and minds. And that is so important. Let's read from Revelation chapter 4, if you will. Verse 1 says, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice was that I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardius stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderclaps and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, and there were the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature was like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were all full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when those 4 living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that is seated on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before him, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." Let's just look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that indwells each and every believer here, Lord, from the first second of being saved. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit wishes to teach us all things, lead us and guide us into all truth. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would take your word, and through it, Lord, that you would glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and teach us. Lord, help us, encourage us. And so we take your word and we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to speak to you on four very simple points this morning, and to illustrate a point. The verse I want to come back to eventually is that verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that is seated on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and you may recognize that phrase from the second verse of hymn number 6, and cast their throne. We will look later on at what that actually means. And I want to speak this morning for a few moments on the rejection, the rejoicing, the revelation, and the recognition. The rejection, the rejoicing, the revelation, and the recognition. Now, the book of Revelation, of course, is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the book is about. But that's not the actual aspect that I'm coming from this morning. I'm coming from the aspect of John, the apostle. In his humanity, John as an apostle, and he faced rejection. If you turn over to chapter 1, you'll see there that it says here that I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, this is verse 9, and the patient of Jesus Christ, was in the island is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and so forth and so on. He was on the Isle of Patmos. Now it is said that John was banished to the Isle of Patmos by the Roman Emperor Domitian about 94 AD, and this island wasn't a very pleasant place at the time. Banishment to an island was a punishment, and it was a common mode of punishment, and Patmos was ideally suited for that purpose. It was lonely, it was desolate, it was barren, it was uninhabited, seldom visited, and it had everything that could be desired as a place of punishment. It was a place that would accomplish everything that the punisher wanted to do, except actually kill a person. So it was a tough place, and John found himself there. He was on the Isle of Patmos, but it tells us that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I'm not going to get into what that means at the moment, but I know this, that as believers we are encouraged to walk in the Spirit, and so it is something that we should have experienced or should understand. But here he is, and he's suffering trials and difficulties, an old man by this time, and he has suffered many trials and difficulties, and the truth of the matter is that every single one of us do that and can do that. It becomes practical to us, and some of us who may be a little older have gone through perhaps many trials and many difficulties, and sometimes, you know what, the road gets a bit long. It tells us in Job that yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. And frankly, sometimes life's journey seems very long and arduous to us, doesn't it? And I think the old John must have felt like that. And maybe that some of you feel that way this morning. You may not have faced or may not face rejection, but certainly difficulties and trials of life. And I come across a verse, I love hymns. And I come across this verse, "Faint not nor fear, his arms are near, he changes not, thou art dear. Only believe and you will see that Christ is all in all to thee." What a fantastic verse. There are so many inspired verses, not in the same way as the scripture, but where people have been moved and touched to write fantastic hymns and verses that are blessing and encouragement to us. "Faint not nor fear, his arms are near, he changes not, and thou art dear. Only believe and you will see that Christ is all in all to thee." You know, that's my testimony. Not because there's anything special about me, because there isn't, but all through some of the most difficult situations in life, I've found that to be true, and it is true. Because we do serve a risen Savior. We do serve a living God. We're not worshipping gods of wood and stone and ideas and that. We serve a loving God, a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us. He knows, he understands, and he literally, really can meet our needs. And so John faced the situation of rejection. But there was something very, very precious happened. John was... John turned, it tells us, and he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Now, here's John in the place of rejection, and that rejection was transformed into rejoicing because he heard the voice of the Lord. I don't get into hearing voices too much. In fact, the way my hearing is going these days, might not be hearing that much, but you know what? The Lord speaks to his people. spiritually through the Word of God and through all kinds of situations. He does that. We know that. He leads us. He guides us. I can't tell you, I can't write out how it was that I came to this place this morning and how come that he got the hymn picked and Aaron played it and it was selected. I can't tell you. I don't know how that works. I know that somehow the Lord managed to maneuver all that. I know that much. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. I don't need to know the details. But I know that he did that. But he said this, I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. You know, it's amazing when you hear someone's voice. Someone who you know and you love and you just want to see them. You just want to hear their voice. The best illustration I can use for me personally is, of course, having been away from England's shores for many, many years, there would be times when I would go back and I would tell my mother that I was coming, and got to the place in later years when she couldn't get out of her chair, and I was coming. She was looking forward to seeing me. I was looking forward to seeing her, etc., 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 etc. But there was nothing like the moment when I came round the outside of the door and I saw her and she saw me and I heard her voice and saw the look on her face. There's nothing like that. And this is a picture there. And I want you to get a sense of this, the fantastic difference it made in that place of rejection, that difficult place, when he heard the voice of the Lord. He turned around and he saw the Lord and the description of his glory that we have there. But it reminds me of a hymn that we sometimes sing. I thought it was in the hymn book, but I don't think it is. It's called I come to the garden alone. Is it not in your hymn book? I thought it would be, but anyway, we all love that hymn. It's called In the Garden. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the verse I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And I thought about that hymn. And when I was I was leading the singing at the Young at Heart last week at Guelph, and someone asked to sing this song. Well, I like to get the story behind songs, and so I got this song, and it was written by a man named Austin Miles, and. He was a manager of a publishing company, and one day his boss came to him. He said, "Look," he said, "we need a new hymn or a new song to put in this song book." And this was the demand from the boss. It had to be of sympathetic tone, breathing tenderness in every line, and one that would bring hope to the hopeless, rest for the weary, and downy pillows on the dying beds. As you have to be told, okay, write that. That was a pretty heavy thing. And so he didn't know what to do, and so he turned to his favourite passage in the Bible, which is John 20. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read the first verse to you. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeing his throne taken away from the sepulchre. So here you've got the picture of, here comes Mary Magdalene, out of love for her Saviour, whilst it was still dark. She came to the graveyard. It's not a place you really want to go in the dark. It's not a very nice situation, generally speaking. But he turned to that, and he wrote this hymn on the basis of that. And so when you read the hymn, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And later on, as you read just later on in the chapter, you read that precious situation where she came to this man who she thought was the gardener, and she explained they thought they'd taken his body away, etc. You know the story better than I do, maybe. But anyway, the thing is that all of a sudden he said one word, Mary. Can you imagine Mary? It was that one word. She heard his voice. She heard his voice, And it says here, then hymn goes on, he speaks to me, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singings, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I would stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice of me is calling. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. See, what an incredible thing. He went from rejection to rejoicing. He came, as did Mary Magdalene, he came into a place of fellowship with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. Friends, how's it going? How are you doing? Do you spend time with the Lord in his word? Do you talk to him like your Heavenly Father? I didn't say, do you read so many chapters a day and so many? I didn't say that. We're not in a competition. People say, how many times have you read the Bible? None of your business. You're probably a faster reader than I am. You may have read the Bible 40 times more than me. That's not the point. The point is, do I talk to my Heavenly Father? Does he talk to me? Just been encouraging my grandson there, read the Bible every day. Read, talk to the Lord. We need to do that. And look, folks, as believers, we need to ask ourselves, never mind about who's sitting next to you. What about me? And it's not, the Lord doesn't use this thing as a battering ram. He doesn't use it to bring guilt and so forth and so on. He didn't do that at all. Because he's a Heavenly Father. I'm working with a guy who's had some problems with drugs and he's recovering and he's doing well, etc., 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 etc. So I said to him yesterday, I said, so are you reading your Bible? He is a Christian. He said, no. Oh, he's doing well, he's earning money and he's paying his debts off. And yeah. But I said, you know, can't survive without that. I said, he's like I asked him, you remember the story of the prodigal son? You see, the father is standing there and he's waiting for his son to come. And his son got himself into the pigsty, as you know the story well, as well as I am. But his son, and he finally came to the end of himself, which perhaps where some of us need to come to. He came to the end of himself and he went back and he said, I'm going to tell the Lord, I'm going to look for the Father, I have done this, blah, 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 right. Yeah, I don't think the Lord wants to hear our promises. And he came, and the father is looking for his son. Everybody else is saying, forget this guy. You know, kick him into touch, as it were. The son came. And how many words did he get out? Father, I have sinned. That's enough. That's all he wanted to hear. He took him into his arms, took him inside. You know all the stories. Because God, our Father, wants us to he wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to hear what he's saying. I thought of something this morning, and my mind is kind of, who knows. But I thought about this morning, because it's World Cup these days. It's World Cup, or as they say in Germany, Sunday. Think about it. No, never mind. It's World Cup time. And England are through to the semi-finals. They can probably beat Croatia, but I don't think they can beat Belgium or France. But if they do beat Croatia, next Sunday is the World Cup final. And I'm supposed to be speaking in London. And England is playing in the Cup final, the World Cup final. So I'm going to have to cancel the meetings in London, right? Not a chance. Because I'll tell you what, soccer, it ain't even on the same plane as serving the Lord. It's not on the same plane as having fellowship with the Lord's people. And I thought this, which shows you how my brain is kind of fattled. I thought, you know, can you imagine when on the Mount of Transfiguration, when God the Father spoke to Peter? Can you imagine Peter saying, could you just hold that thought because the World Cup is on, I just need to go see. Can you imagine that? When God wants to speak to you, can you imagine having something else to do? And I'm serious. I've had a principle for years and I still have it. I tell you what, I don't care. Super Bowl, world champions, whatever, etc. I tell you what, if it's on the Lord's Day and I'm booked to speak there, it's not even a consideration to cancel. Does that make me something special? Not even slightly. But I'll tell you what, we need to hear what God has to say a lot more than what we need to hear who wins some World Cup. We do, seriously. Oh, don't worry, if I wasn't speaking or I was home, I'd watch the game. I'm not that spiritual. But listen, the Lord wants to, your Heavenly Father wants to speak to you. He wants you to talk to Him. It's a relationship. I used to love to call home to England and talk to my mother and my father. And they loved to hear from me more. You know why? Because they were the parents. I just love to hear from my kids more than they want to talk to me, because I'm the parent. And so here's the rejection turned to rejoicing. But then there came the third point, which is the revelation. The revelation. John was told to write three things. He was told in chapter 1, verse 19. This is the outline for the book of Revelation, as you probably well know. He's told to write the things which you've seen, which is the chapter 1. It clearly describes all of chapter 1. He's told to write the things which are, which is the condition of the church from Pentecost to the rapture. And then he's told to write the things which must be hereafter. Okay? Chapter 4 is number 3. Chapter 4, verse 1. Very clearly, people get all concerned and worried about the book of Revelation. It is not that difficult to understand if you understand the layout there. Here we have the revelation. We have the rejection. We have the rejoicing. And now we have the revelation. After this, verse 1, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So we're now in heaven. And the first voice was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here and I will show you things which must be hereafter. The scene in heaven, the scene in chapter 4 and 5 is in heaven. So John's told to write those things. And this is the revelation of all that will be. And very, very simple as far as the revelation is concerned. Chapter 1, the things you've seen. Chapter 2 and 3, the condition of the church from Pentecost to the rapture. Chapter 4 and 5, the church is in heaven. And chapter 6 begins the tribulation period. And the church is not seen again until chapter 19, when the church follows the Lord out on white horses. And it's very, very clear. And so here we have John, having been in a place of rejection, come to the place of rejoicing, now gets this incredible revelation of all the things that are going to happen. And amidst of this, we have my fourth point, which is the recognition. And I love this because it's talking about what's going to happen with you and I too. After all the years of trials and tribulations, spiritual warfare, but at the same time growing and learning, John finally, fully understood the truths of John 15 verse 5, without me you can do nothing. Oh, look folks, I've read that a lot. Read it over the years. But I tell you what, we have a way of being so willful, so full of self-effort, we can do it. we're like babies, we're like children. You know how it is when you've got a little child and you're trying to raise a little child. Most of you have done that, and you're trying to teach your child, and they get real angry with you sometimes. No, I can do it. I can do it. I can carry that. It's 300 pounds, but they can do it. You know, it's just, I mean, this is because they're children, they're babies. And in immaturity, it takes us a long time before we deal with our pride, and we recognize, I can't do it. I can't do it. And you've seen it, I'm quite sure, in children. Maybe you've been it yourself. You got angry because someone wants to do it. No, I can do it. I can do it. Or maybe you can't do it. Well, I'm telling you this, in spiritual matters, you can't do it. It ain't going to happen. When it comes to witnessing, you know, soul winning, you and I can do absolutely zero. We may have the sickest outline, the four spiritual laws or whatever we have, and not that there's anything wrong with them, but I want to tell you this, it has to be the Lord. And he's the one who will convict the world of sin, righteousness and judgment. And I said, you know, I've been saved for over 60 years, and, you know, I was teaching in New Tribe and all that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I could probably come and speak for half an hour or so here this morning. Could probably do that. For what purpose and what blessing if the Lord is not leading and directing, if it's not him? Because it's nothing to do with what I want to say this morning. It's got to do with what will you take away from here? You'll only take away this way of any value, that which the Spirit of God has taught your heart. That's it. That's how it is. And we're so good at blowing people up and putting them on pedestals and stuff like that. My word. Without me, you can do nothing. The 24 elders are usually taken correctly, in my view, to represent the Church of Jesus Christ. There's good reasons for this. In my view, just take my word for it if you want. They represent the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have crowns on their head of gold. They are clothed with white garments, etc. The 24, there's different reasons people say what they're, some say, well, it's the 12 apostles and the 12 heads of the tribes of Israel. 24, it represents headship, it represents leadership, but most certainly, in my view, we're talking about the church here. So you come to verse 10 of chapter 4, and you see there that this royal, we're called a royal priesthood, which is the royal king, and the priesthood is the garments and stuff like that. But there's so much you could say about this whole subject. But chapter 4, verse 10 says this, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, the crowns, it's symbolic of taking these things. You know, we go through our life hearing about crowns and so forth and so on. And myself, I don't understand the whole subject. I've got some ideas, but either way, hey, and they cast. And this is why this verse 2 of hymn number 6 that we sang, holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee who was and is and evermore shall be. Isn't that incredible? Because it's a recognition that it's him, that it's him. I wonder how many times you've read, and I've read too, back in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, you can probably all quote it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Every way. All not some, all. Because whatever happens, it has to be him. It's got to be him. And so you've got this tremendous truth here that it takes us so long to grasp and to put into operation, that all we do, whatever we do, in every area of life, spiritually speaking, it has to be him. It's got to be him. It's got to be the Lord. And the practical question there is to ask, well, so how is it then? Is there power in my life? Not power for me in my life, not digging deep and all of those kind of things. Is there power in my life? Is the Lord leading and directing so that people are blessed and witnessed to and saved through my life? Is that true? Is that happening? And this is not to line people up and ask individually, you know, because this is between us and the Lord. I have to answer this between me and the Lord. I keep hearing, we need revival, we need revival. Why? I don't even understand what that means. For what I'm hearing, it doesn't mean what I think it should mean. And I'll tell you this, every single one of us are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We can be empowered by the Spirit of God. What we need to do is die to self and allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct us in everything and all we do. And guess who that applies to? Every single believer. Young, old, in between, every one of us. All of us. And so out there, as we go through those doors in 5 minutes' time, there's a world, a very, very needy world, lost world. There are believers who need blessing and encouraging. There's all kinds of ways in which the Lord wants to use us. But it can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I, like I say, I've got 10 pages of notes on this, because everywhere I look, I see this, and I thought, well, what are we missing here? But Paul said, I live, but not I, Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, and so he goes on, but it's got to be the Lord. And wherever you turn, it has to be the Lord. We'll look at some more of that. I'll tell you what we're doing tonight. We'll look at some examples from the Word of God, and there's a lot. I have 10 pages of notes, and so we might be tomorrow at lunchtime before we get done. I'll just look at some of these things. Wonderful, wonderful stuff, where you realize that strong, determined people had to come to the end of themselves. And it's amazing, isn't it, how long it takes the Lord to bring us to the end of ourselves. To bring the end of our self-will, our own brilliance, and so forth and so on. Simple. John was in the place of rejection. He heard the voice of the Lord and came to the place of rejoicing. The Lord said, come up here, and he gave a revelation of what's to come. But then this recognition of the whole church. That's why it's important to understand that the 24 elders represent the whole church. All of us one day, all of us, when we stand before that throne, we'll come to the place where we realize that all and everything that of any spiritual value was done by him. Then we'll get into chapter 5, verse 9, where we shall be praising the Lamb that was slain. There'll be no, it was me and him, it was him. Isn't that wonderful? And I trust this morning that if you've struggled in your life and you've not seemed to have the blessing and victory that you would like, it takes one thing. Just agree with the Lord. Lord, that's how it is. Lord, because he wants us to die to our own self-desires and allow him to live his life in and through us. And in that way, the Lord will be blessed and honored. Let's just close in prayer, shall we? God and Father, we thank you for your word again, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the realization that it has to be the very life of Christ in and through us. Lord, we don't need to look too far before we realize our own inadequacies. But Lord, we thank you that you can and want to live your life in and through us. And we pray, Lord, that this coming week, and as we move forward, that the very life of Christ will be seen in and through us. Lord, that you will work, and Lord, that we may see many souls won to you, and lives blessed and encouraged. In Christ's precious name, amen.